Father, we come, Lord, today once again thanking you for the breath that we are breathing, Lord. Thank you for the sun that we feel, Lord, the clouds that are over us, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for the rain that comes down, Lord. We thank you for everything that you are doing because, Father, we know that you are in control of all things and nothing happens
yes.
unless you permit it to take
Amen.
Place.
Yes.
Father, you see everything. You know everything. You know what's happening with everyone on this call. Father, we just lift up Terrell right now, Father.
Yes.
And Lord, you would please, Lord, give him peace as he goes through this trying time. Lord, he doesn't
yes.
know, but you know what's going on with his body.
Yes,
and Lord,
Father.
We know that you have control of the doctor's mind and their hands. And Lord, you can
yes.
reach out and touch them, Lord, to be able to go directly to what is causing the problem in Terrell's body.
Yes.
The high blood pressure, Lord, the pain that he feels and all the stuff they're trying to do, Lord. Would you please let your anointing fall
yes.
on all of them today, Lord. Everyone that would be a part of Terrell's touching him and dealing with him
yes.
and going through what he is dealing with, Father. Lord, please,
yes.
Lord, we ask that you do that today. And then, Lord, for others that are on this call, Lord God, we pray, Father, that you would touch them as they're dealing with something specifically, Lord. We're coming,
yes.
Father, because we need you. We're coming, Father, because we want to be filled by you. We're coming, Lord God, because, Father, without you, we are nothing.
Yes.
And we cannot do anything that is good. So, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit today and forgive us of our sins. Wash and cleanse us all, Lord God. Let our minds no longer focus on the things that we're dealing with, but let us focus on you and the goodness and the love of you, the mercy and
yes.
kindness that you have for all of us. Whether we feel it or don't feel it, Lord, we know that
yes.
you're real. And we know, Father, that you can do all things. So we submit our wills to you right now, Lord, and ask that your will be done in us. And that, Lord, you will take over every aspect of this call. You would block interference. You would block anything
yes,
that want to stop us from hearing what you want us to hear, Father. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your Spirit. Oh, Lord, we just pray, Father, that you touch Jeanette as she bring forth your word. Let
yes,
your anointing
Lord.
Fall afresh and anew in her today as well. Lord, and she would bring forth a word that only you have for her to bring forth, not Jeanette. Touch the reed
yes,
of Alexandra, Lord. Bless her and anoint her as she reads, Lord. Let her read. Let the reading of your word truly fill each soul on this call, and each one will hear it, Lord. We thank you today,
yes.
Father. We bless your holy name. We thank you for all that are on this call, Lord. For we know, Lord, that's something you have for all of us. So, Lord, let us
yes.
receive it. Open our hearts, mind, and soul today to receive what you have for us. We thank you, Lord God, and we open
thank
it up
you.
To you. We let ask that your will be done. In Jesus'
yes,
name,
Father.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. So we're going to go to where we were last week, where David spared Saul a second time. And it was basically the same thing again, Saul doing a repeat. And he, you know, went on and on. He doesn't mean it. He's son David and all of this. But at the end of the day, by now David knows, you know, you can't take Saul's word for a nickel. So he went
That's
deeper
so
into the strongholds. Exactly. So he went deeper into the stronghold the first time, and then this time he's taking a different position because it's not getting any better, and he's running. And the men are getting tired that are running with him, living in caves and fugitives, and it's ridiculous. So
yeah.
we're going to start at 27, and here's where David is now. Zandra.
Okay. But David thought to himself, one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand. So David and 600 men with him left and went over to Achish, son of Mach, king of Gath. David and his men settled in Gath, and Achish, each man, had his family with him. And David had his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel, and Abigail of Carmel, the widow of Nabal. When Saul was told that David had fled to Gath, he no longer searched for him. Then David
said...
Let's
stop there for a second.
Sure.
Okay. First, it starts out with what does David say? David says in his heart, I will one day perish by the hand of Saul.
Yeah.
What is happening to David?
Losing faith.
Richard said losing faith.
Growing weary. Yeah.
Growing weary, yeah.
Yeah.
When we lose hope, when we lose sight of God's promises in our life,
yes,
we can now position ourselves with the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as you get off the track that God has you on, mm-hmm. where else is there but the camp of the enemy?
Amen. Yes. Yes.
There is so much right there. You know, I read that days ago. And I said, Lord, I don't see any particular principles standing out. And I can't get past the first verse because the Holy Spirit is revealing that.
Mm.
We must be careful that when we decide that God is taking too long and our hope is gone, what is missing is his hope, his faith, not. And instead of praying, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, help me. Lord, restore my hope.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he's going to take, you know what? I'm leaving Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Israel represented the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, one of these days, Saul's going to straight up kill me. How could that be when God had given David a promise?
Right.
But I'm speaking from experience right now. It is easy after enough trial and enough time passes. And enough battle after battle after battle, it is easy to lose hope. But remember this, as long as you live, if you take your step off of the path God has you on, there's no place on either side of that road but the enemy's camp.
Amen. Amen.
That's powerful.
Okay.
Thank you for that. We received that.
So he decides he's getting ready to go live now with the enemy. It's the only way I'm going to stay alive. Okay, keep going.
Then David said to Achish, if I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be assigned to me in one of the country towns, that I may live there. Why should your servant live in the royal city with you? So on that day, Achish gave him Ziklag, and it has belonged to the kings of Judah ever since. David lived in Philistine territory a year and 4 months. Now,
so what happens here? Hold on a second.
Sure.
Now, the king welcomes David in. This is the king of Gath.
Mm-hmm.
This is the place that Goliath is from, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And Achish, the king, takes a chance on this. He's going to bring in David because David's, you know, I'm sure all the other neighboring tribes, the Amalekites, Jebusites, Hittites, they all know that David's on the run. Everybody knows. So they didn't need the internet.
Hmm.
So David is welcomed in, and the king is like, wow, I got, you know, the prize. I've got the prize of Israel living in my town now. I'm going to keep him close to me.
Mm.
But David shrewdly says, let me get out of this right under the king's nose so that whatever is going on, whatever I may find I need to do, the king will not be able to, you know, have me under his nose.
Mm.
It won't be as easy for the king to keep an eye on me. And the king is a little clueless and says, oh, okay, I'll give you a place out further from here where you and your men can be comfortable, and I'm going to give you this city of Ziklag. Interesting. Mm-hmm. That's not real wise for the king, for Achish. Achish had known better than that. Okay, keep going.
Sure. Now David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites, the Gizrites, and the Amalekites. From ancient times, these people peoples had lived in the land extending to Shur and Egypt. Whenever David attacked an area, he did not leave a man or woman alive, but took sheep and cattle, donkeys and camels, and clothes. Then he returned to Achish. When Achish asked, "Where did you go raiding today?" David would say, "Against the Negev of Judah, or against the Negev of Jerahmeel, or against the Negev of the Kenites." He did not leave a man.
Okay, read that one and then stop.
Okay. He did not leave a man or woman alive to be brought to Gath, for he thought they might inform on us and say, "This is what David did." And such was his practice as long as he lived in the Philistine territory.
So let's stop right there. What is David doing? David is raiding neighboring villages of, some of these are allies of the Philistines. So you've got the Philistines and you have the Amalekites, and all of these are enemies of Israel.
Okay.
And he's out there killing the enemies of Israel and then make sure he doesn't leave a person alive that can come back and tell the truth.
Right.
So he's sitting there picking off the enemy in the enemy's camp. But he knows that if King Achish ever heard what he was doing, then he wouldn't trust David. So he comes back and he says, "Hey, I'm attacking Judah." Remember, that's the tribe David's from?
Right.
He's running around, so he's telling the king that he's attacking his own people. And the king doesn't have any witnesses that can come back and say otherwise.
Wow.
So sometimes when we find ourselves positioned for however we got there in an enemy's camp, you can still do God's work. But you better do
Amen.
It carefully and wisely.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes,
it does.
Makes a lot of sense.
Have you ever found yourself positioned maybe on a job or maybe in a circumstance where you know all these people are not right? They're just, they're evil, they're doing this, they're doing that. But you find a way, and they persecute certain ones on your job. But you take that opportunity to be able to stand in the gap for somebody. Nobody knows that somebody in that same office is actually praying. Remember I said last week our battles are not fought with tools made by the hand of man, but they are fought on our knees. So here we are in an enemy's camp. How did I end up working? Oh, let me ask that. Let me put it this way. How did Terrell end up working as a guard in a prison?
Yes.
What is he doing there? Somebody would say, "Oh, my goodness. You know, why isn't he working in the church? Why isn't he evangelizing on the streets?"
God placed him there.
But he's placed right where the enemy has mass control. The prison system is so corrupt, it isn't even funny. And yet, we've slipped in an agent. So he's in there praying for people and turning lives around in the enemy's camp.
Come on.
Believe me, when you get put in jail, it is not for rehabilitation.
Amen. Amen.
It is not to make you a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And yet God, in all of his sovereign grace and mercy, has slipped in an agent into such a place. Well, what's happened here with the Philistines? God has allowed David to think the way he is, or God is taking advantage of the fact that David's faith has wavered, and he has slipped him into the enemy's camp, and David is still doing God's work. He is still avenging the enemies of God, no matter where you find yourself children of the living God, whether it is in a camp that's just infested with demonic activity, or whether it's in a church.
Amen.
Some churches are more infested than the prison.
Amen. Amen.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
But if that is where you find yourself, and I'm saying find yourself because who knows, did God give David a heart to lose faith? I can't judge that. All I can say is David was losing his hope, losing his faith, made this decision, and found himself what appears to be off-road.
Yeah.
What are you doing living with Philistines?
Mm.
And yet God is even using you there.
Yes.
God is using you, me, everyone that he has called for his purpose. He's using them.
Hallelujah.
Where you find yourself, be a tool in the hand of the master.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Maybe everybody around you is unsaved. Maybe they're all planning and scheming and doing this and that. But your presence ought to change things.
Amen.
Your presence should be changing the atmosphere.
Yes. Yes.
Is it because of what you're saying? No, it's because of who is in you.
Amen. Go on and preach it.
Amen. Right.
So we're talking about what happened here. Jesus is in the house.
Yes.
No matter where you go, Jesus is in the house.
Yes.
So when you walk in, the Holy Spirit and his presence immediately begins to stir hearts and change atmosphere. Have we not noticed over our lifetime, once the Spirit of God was indwelling in you, that you walk in a place and some people kind of get nervous or they decide time for me to leave?
Yes.
And someone will say, man, what was up? Why did you leave as soon as Tammy got there? I just don't like being around her.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's in them is not compatible with the power source that walked in the door.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So here comes David, and David is smart enough to know that this king, Achish, may discern this. So he comes up with this humble position. Oh, who are we to live in, you know, the royal city? We don't deserve that. Oh, Dave, what a heart you got. I'm going to give you a whole city of your own, Ziglag. And he's out there in Ziglagging up a mess. He's attacking the Amalekites and all kinds of people that are the allies of the Philistines. Huh. Okay. Keep going.
Achish trusted David and said to himself, he has become so obnoxious to his people, the Israelites, that he will be my servant for life. Oh, I love that. Now, that's a testimony in itself. 28.
Convincing.
I'm sorry?
I said he was quite convincing.
No, truly. 28. Mm-hmm. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces to fight against Israel. Achish said to David, you must understand that you and your men will accompany me and the army.
Oh, my.
David said, then you will see for yourself what your servants can do. Achish replied, very well. I will make you my bodyguard for life. Oh, man. Incredible. Now, Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and the spirits from the land. The Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all Israel and set up camp at Gilboa. When Samuel saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired
Stop
of the
right
Lord.
There. Stop there for a second. Samuel is long gone. You remember, it's about two or three chapters ago, Samuel has passed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that leave Saul? Saul no longer has a prophet of God to consult.
Right.
And here we go again. The Philistines are gathering together against the armies of Israel, and Saul becomes afraid. But prior to that, he just told us that mediums had been banned from Israel.
What is mediums?
Witches.
Which, yeah.
Witches. Witches. Those who perform seances.
Mm-hmm.
Those who practice the dark arts.
Speaking to the
witchcraft,
dead.
Sorcery, yeah. Black magic, voodoo, Wiccan.
Mm-hmm.
It comes under a bunch of categories, and it's all witchcraft. Okay.
When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is in a medium, so I may go and inquire of her." Not good. "There is one in Endor," they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." But the woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and spirits from the land." "Ah, why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?" Wow. "Saul swore to her by the Lord, as surely as the Lord lives, you will not be perished for this." Mm. Then the woman asked, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said, "I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth." "What does he look like?" he asked. "An old woman wearing a robe is coming up," she said.
Oh, man.
Then
old
Saul
man.
Knew it. Excuse me?
Old man.
Oh, old man, not old woman. Sorry. You're
nope.
correct. Sorry. An old man wearing a robe is
he
coming up.
He didn't get
up.
A sex change.
I'm sorry. Wow, how'd that pop in there? I wonder how. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" "I am in great distress," Saul said. "The Philistines are fighting against me, and God was departed from me. He no longer answers me either by prophets or by dreams. So I have called on you to tell me what to do." Samuel said, "Why do you consult me now that the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy?"
Wow.
"The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David. Because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines. And tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me." Oh, my goodness. "The Lord will also give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines."
Wow. Let's stop there.
Okay, it's getting juicy. Wow.
There's a whole lot that just went on there.
Yeah.
So Saul goes to the witch and tells her, "I need you to perform a seance. I need you to call up a spirit." And the woman says, "Hey, what are you trying to get me killed?" Saul put a ban on that. Saul convinces her, "Don't worry about it," but doesn't conceal who he is. So we got all that. He calls up Samuel, and Samuel says, in some interpretations, "What have you done?"
Mm-hmm.
What have you done? Mm-hmm. Wow. So God says, I have torn the kingdom from you, and I am not answering you. And your answer to God is, if you don't, the devil will.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us will do this compromise?
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even recognize it. For example, wow, I want to be married again. I just wonder, is God going to send me a maid, or is he not going to send me a maid, or what's going to happen? I'm going to have my palm read. Because God's not telling me. So I'm just going to see, just for fun, I'm going to start reading my horoscopes and see. I'm going to go to a medium. Oh, no, I wouldn't call it a medium. I'm going to go to a psychic. No one will know. I'm going to just make, I'm going to call 1-800-PSYCHIC. It's not going to affect my testimony because no one will even know I called that number. What we think we're doing in darkness will be brought to light.
Amen.
And let me tell you something else. So will the consequences.
Yes, Lord.
Ouch. Ouch.
Ouch. So will the consequences. They're going to surface. Maybe some people will still not know what in the world happened. I bet you most of Israel had no idea their king was about to go down and his sons.
Mm-hmm.
When you, certain violations that you do, open doors and take away your protection.
Yes. Yes.
Up to now, God has still been protecting Saul in battle, even though he's not pleased with him. I'm not pleased with you chasing down David. I'm not pleased with your continuous lying, but I've granted you a certain amount of grace because I know that you're battling an unclean spirit. So even the stuff that you're doing, I'm still allowing you to be successful in battles. But you're asking me what to do. I'm not even answering you because don't get it twisted.
Amen.
But I'm still allowing you grace. But you have crossed the line today. Now, how do you know that was a big line? Because Saul knew so much better than this that he had banned witches from all of Israel. That tells you the magnitude of Saul's understanding of how egregious an offense to God that this would be. That he banned them from all of Israel. But you know how there's times we do the same thing. We keep a little something-something in our pocket.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
Well, just in case. And we will default back to that if God ain't answering fast enough. He's not answering you fast enough, or you don't like the answer he gave you.
Right.
So let me see. Instead of throwing out that stuff I had last week, how about if I just kept a little bit in the case of emergency? That the pain is more than I can bear, so I'm just going to have a little on hand. I'm not going to use it every day or any of that, and I'm going to tell everybody that it's not a good thing, that this is what God showed me in a dream and a vision. But as for me, I got a little something-something in my back pocket.
Slippery slope.
Especially when you feel like you're in need.
Especially when you feel like you're in need. Well, that's what Saul did, only he crossed the line so far this time, it's a done deal. What's Samuel say? Oh, today you're going to be with me. As of tomorrow, you and your sons are going to be joining me.
Yes, you and
your sons. In the place you just called me up from. Now, where was that Samuel was, that Saul was going to be the next day?
Yeah.
I'm asking this question because I want us to have a little bit of understanding. So where was Samuel?
Purgatory.
No such thing as purgatory. That's a Catholic expression that is a place that you can be prayed out of in the event that there was something wrong when you were living. There is no purgatory.
Amen.
So where is Samuel?
Mm-hmm. hell?
He's in a waiting place. He's waiting for judgment day, I guess.
Here's what I want you to understand in everything we're talking about in the Old Testament here. Remember as Joseph died, he said, bring my bones and place them with my father?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I want to be buried near my mom and my dad?
Mm-hmm.
Up to this point, Jesus had not come.
Right.
So there was no way in the wilderness. When you died, you're dead. And guess what these people are waiting for? The Messiah to come.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting for that promises that's all the way back in the first couple of chapters of Genesis.
Wow.
They're waiting for that promise. They're going to be stuck in this place of not necessarily torment, just a place that you're waiting judgment until Jesus can save them.
Hmm.
So Jesus comes thousands of years later, and when he went to the cross, the Bible says that the 3 days he went into the earth, into the place where all these people have been buried, into
right.
the waiting place, he presented himself. Some accepted, oh, you're the Messiah, you're who I'm waiting for, and then they went on with the Lord to glory.
Mm-hmm.
But others still rejected him,
mm-hmm.
and they went on to wherever they went.
Mm.
A place of torment till final judgment.
Mm. Wow.
So Samuel didn't get to die and go straight to heaven.
No.
Or even straight to paradise.
Right.
Paradise and heaven are not the same place.
Mm-hmm.
But Samuel didn't die and go to paradise. Samuel had to wait with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what, Saul? You're going to be waiting with me tomorrow.
You and your boys.
Your life has been cut short now.
Mm.
Okay, keep going.
Wow, we received that. We received that. So cautious,
amen.
So careful. Thank you, Miss Jeanette. Immediately, Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all that day and all that night. When the woman came to Saul and saw that he was greatly shaken, she said, look, your servant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me to do. Now, please listen to your servant and let me give you some food so you may eat and have the strength to go on your way. He refused and said, I will not eat. But his men joined the woman in urging him, and he listened to them. He got up from the ground and sat on the couch. The woman had fattened calves at the house, which she butchered at once. She took some flour, kneaded it, and baked bread without yeast. Then she set it before Saul and his men, and they ate. That same night, they got up and left.
Keep going.
Continue?
Yes, please.
The Philistines gathered.
Okay. Yeah,
all the 29. Sorry.
Okay.
The Philistines gathered all their forces at Aphek, and Israel camped by the spring in Jezreel. As the Philistine rulers marched with their units of hundreds and thousands, David and his men were marching at the rear with Achish. The commanders of the Philistines asked, "What about these Hebrews?" Achish replied, "Is this not David, who was an officer of Saul, king of Israel? He was already been with me for over a year, and from the day he left Saul until now, I have found no fault in him." But the Philistine commanders were angry with Achish and said, "Send the man back, that he may return to the place you assigned him. He must not go with us into battle, or he will return against us during the fighting. How better could he reign as his master's favor than by taking the heads of our own men? Isn't this the David they sang about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. So Achish called David and said to him, "As surely as the Lord lives, you have been reliable, and I will be pleased to have you serve with me in the army. From the day you came to me until today, I have found no fault in you, but the rulers don't approve of you. Now, turn back and go in peace. Do nothing to displease the Philistine rulers." "But what have I done?" asked David. "What have you found against your servant from the day I came to you until now? Why can't I go and fight against the enemies of my lord, the king?" Achish answered, "I know that you have been as pleasing in my eyes as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the Philistine commanders have said, 'He must not go up with us into battle.' Now get up early along with your master's servants who have come with you and leave in the morning as soon as it is light." So David and his men got up early in the morning to go back to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Continue.
No, here we're going to just capsulize that chapter. So what happens here? David is all gung-ho and ready to join them in battle against Israel. And we know David would have put a hurting on the Philistines that day.
No doubt. Yes.
But we've got, you know, Achish's men who have better sense than the king. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine putting something like David behind you in a battle against his own people? Are you crazy? So these men talk some sense into the king and say, "He's not coming with us." Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, this is a little out on a limb, this is just what I'm surmising, those men were absolutely right. There is no way David and those 600 men would have not turned on the Philistines that day.
Right, yeah.
And they were perfectly positioned to do so.
Yep.
Just start taking them out from the back.
Mm-hmm.
But these men, smarter than the king, said, "He's not coming with us. Don't know what you're thinking." And they were so persistent and about it that the king said, "Sorry, David, I can't let you come. I find no fault in you, no fault in you." He's been picking off all of your allies the whole time. But David wants to make it. It's pretty bad. So David wants, he wants to know, "Well, how much do you know? Have you found any fault? Why? Why?"
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
"I just want to be sure you don't know anything that I need to know you know."
Yeah, that's awesome.
"Oh no, David, I haven't found any fault with you at all. But please, just go home and let's not stir up anything." So David decides, okay, maybe better to go home. Maybe this is the right answer. David, I'm sure, was being led, because this was a day that Saul is going to fall. Remember?
Yes.
So God has a plan for this battle coming up.
Oh,
okay.
So.
David's conflict with the Amalekites.
Yay, okay. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David
said, Stop there for 1 minute. Look what happened. These 600 men have been faithful to David. They've been in and out of caves. They've got no place to live. But now they're finally in a place of rest and still able to, you know, put a hurting on those that are against Israel. But what happens here? When the heat gets up high enough, that's when you're going to see some stuff come out of people. And a lot of the people on this call right now are leaders. They're going to be leaders. They're being pruned and molded into leadership. Don't expect that the people that you're leading are going to come in at the same level of faith that you have.
Yes.
So you're going to see, as the fire gets turned up, a lot of people, they're not capable of having the faith that God. Remember when Saul was being anointed? Remember the traits that God gave Saul that day? In the anointing that he poured through Samuel onto Saul? It was courage. And there's a lot of things that God will give leadership because they're going to need it in leading. But the people under you may have faith, but in a smaller portion. So in a smaller portion, when you come home and find that the whole town has been burned up, and all your children are gone, your wives are gone, that probably was the limit for their faith.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You can just assume the rest. I probably, my wives have been raped and my daughters have been raped and my sons have been murdered.
Yeah.
Or else they're all in some kind of bondage. They burned the whole town down. There's nothing for me to do but assume the worst. I'm saying this to leadership. Try and be patient. When people that you're mentoring or that you're, that God puts under you, try to be patient when their faith isn't where it's supposed to be.
Amen.
Or where you think it's supposed to be.
Yes.
So now they're so done to come home and find their whole town raided and burned up. Oh, while we were doing what, David? We were getting ready to run behind Saul, run behind Achish. And while we were gone, we left our own people vulnerable, our family. Stone him! All of a sudden, he goes from the leader to kill this dude. Look what you cost us. We believed in you. We were following you. Look what you cost us. But David inquires again of the Lord.
Of the Lord. There
David
it is right there.
David gets his strength from God.
Yes.
And then he imparts this to the people, just so you know.
Yes.
That's what leaders do in this realm. Leaders are connected to God in a certain way, and we hear from him. And he guides us and he leads us and he gives us extra courage to fight battles that others would never even take on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we impart that to those that we're bringing up. Discipling, if you want to call it.
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
Oh, that was so profound what you said. I once again, we received that. Thank you, Miss Jeanette.
Praise
then
the Lord.
David, yes. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. David and the 600, I love it. David and the 600 men with him came to the Besor Valley, where some stayed behind. 200 of them were too exhausted to cross the valley, but David and the other 400 continued the pursuit. They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat, part of a cake of pressed figs and two cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten food or drunk any water for 3 days and 3 nights. David asked him, Who do you belong to? Where do you come from? He said, I am an Egyptian, the slave of Amalek. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev of the Kerethites, some territory belonging to Judea, to Judah, and the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag. David asked him, can you lead me down to this raiding party? Oh, here we go. He answered, swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them. He led David down, and there they were, scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah.
David, stop right there for 1 second.
Yes.
Just for a sec. We're going to pause for 1 minute. I want you to understand that sometimes when you go out, now remember we just talked about that David undoubtedly was not going to let them just start slaying Israelites. His plan was to be doing God's work.
Yes.
Sometimes when we have a plan or we're trying to do God's work, the devil is attacking you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
David could not have seen this raiding troops coming. He didn't know they were coming. And while he's over here trying to help somebody,
yes,
the people of Israel, he's over here trying to help somebody. Hmm. His own family is carried off. His own town is burned down.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised when the battle is raging.
Hmm. Mm. Amen.
This is a war, people.
Yes.
So while you're over here trying to do something and get something done, the adversary is making plans against you.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
But look at God.
Yes.
While you are doing what God has called you to do, no matter what it looks like, how many losses it may seem that you're taking, following what God has called you to do, trust God.
Hallelujah.
Trust God. He's not going to let you be destroyed by the enemy while you're doing his work.
Amen.
The only way that can possibly happen is if he had a date set and it was time for you to go home.
Right.
So if God has called you to go move here or go do that, and it looks like you've lost everything, and it doesn't even look like you can recover from what has been lost, trying to do what God has told you to do. Do not lose hope.
Amen. Amen.
The enemy's going to attack any way he can if he thinks there's an opening.
Amen.
But God, keep reading.
Amen. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away. Hallelujah. Except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Hallelujah. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, this is David's plunder. Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him and who were left behind at the Besor Valley. They came out to meet David and the men with him. As David and his men approached, he asked them how they were. But all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers said, because they did not go out with us, we will not share with them the plunder we recovered. However,
stop. Stop 1 second. Did you hear that?
One, isn't it? Yes.
Evil men.
Yes, evil men.
Troublemakers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the evil man or a troublemaker. It's evil men and troublemakers.
Yes.
These people can be fighting right alongside you.
Amen.
But they're not good people.
Amen.
They're in your camp. They're in your church. They're in your home.
Yeah.
But they stir up trouble because they're really not good people. So don't think that just because you're leading a group of people or you're ministering that every ear that this falls on is a good ear.
Amen. Amen.
There's people that will be under you that are evil doers and troublemakers. Me, myself, I'd like to just purge. Hey, evildoer, troublemaker, get out of here. But they've infiltrated churches, groups. They're everywhere. And we allow them to continue to fight with us. Mm-hmm. That's what David is doing. He knows they ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
But what does David say? Keep going.
However, each man may take his wife and children and go. David replied, "No, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and delivered into our hands the raiding party that came against us. Who will listen to what you say? The share of the men who stayed with the supplies is to be the same as that of him who went down to the battle. All will share alike. David made this a statute and ordinance for Israel from that day to this." Amen, David. When David reached Ziklag, he sent some of the plunder to the elders of Judah, who were his friends, saying, "Here is a gift for you from the plunder of the Lord's enemies." David sent it to those who were in Bethel, Ramoth Negev, and Jeter, to those in Oror, Siphmoth, Eshtemo, and Rakel, to those in the towns of Jeremelites and the Kenites, to those in Hormah, Bor Ashman, Athek, and Hebron, and to those in all the other places where he and his men had roamed. Amen.
So what did David do? David turns around and gets all of this plunder. He doesn't just make sure, no, the people who are weaker, they are not going to get left. What does that say in leadership?
Treat everybody equal.
You treat people the same. Some are not as strong as others.
Yes.
Some, their job is going to be more of a feeble type job. But they still are to partake in the blessings that God is giving.
Amen.
We're not to begrudge somebody. Let's say, for example, and you see this in churches a lot, people that don't tithe at all. They don't give anything. You're not supposed to begrudge them and say, "Well, I don't think you ought to be listening to the message then." I don't think you should be in here with praise and worship. Okay, I can't stop you from coming, but know this, you'll never be this and you'll never be that, not in this church. Because they give nothing. But maybe their faith is that weak, that they haven't even grown in the area of giving. We're not supposed to treat them differently because, you know, they're not where we think they ought to be.
Right. Amen.
Ow, huh? You see churches do it all the time. You can't be a deacon. I'm not making you a deacon because you don't tithe regularly. So, no. That's not happening. No. Heck no.
Are you not smart enough and educated
enough? Yeah, Richard said, or you're not smart enough or you're not educated enough. Now we're getting into respecter of persons, aren't we?
Right. Yes.
David didn't say, "Well, because you couldn't go across the river, you were too weak and too tired, you are not coming. We're not going to bless you. You can take your wife, you can take your little kids." In other words, you can leave with what you came with.
Right.
But as far as any of the blessing that comes from what God has done today, You ain't getting part of the blessing. Not happening. That's an evil mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wicked mind. That's a troublemaking mind.
Mm-hmm.
But David set that straight and said, no, what God has done, we will all benefit from what he has done.
Amen.
Let's say, for example, it's a building fund. Okay, I'm about to wrap it up. Okay, say, for example, it's a building fund and you are able, through only a few people, to acquire this amazing building. Are you going to say to somebody you're not welcome in it because you didn't help? But David set this ordinance in place, and it was set in place and is in place unto this day.
Yes.
Said no. And then not only did he share with his men, he shared with all of different parts of Israel that needed to be blessed too.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word. We're going to finish 1 Samuel next week.
Okay.
Thank you very much for reading.
Oh, it was awesome.
And I am over by 4 minutes, but we're going to close in prayer just the same. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people. I ask you, but most of all, I thank you for the faithfulness of your Holy Spirit that just sees things that we could never see on our own.
Yes, Lord.
And is teaching us the wisdom that we need as we navigate our last days through this wilderness.
Yes.
Yes,
thank you, Holy Spirit, for your wisdom.
Yes. Thank you.
I ask you, Lord, that you would fill each one with your spirit just anew and afresh today.
Yes.
As we try to make it through another week of your work.
Yes.
Let us be about your business, the Father's business.
Yes.
Let us be following in the footsteps of our Lord and our Savior.
Yes.
Give us his mindset.
Please.
Let him become more of us and us become less.
Yes.
So that when people meet your people, they see the face of Christ.
Yes.
Help us to get out of the way.
Please.
Help us to overcome what we are all struggling with, and it's different in each case.
Yes.
But let us find victory through the power of your spirit.
Yes.
And you, O Lord, will get all praise and honor and glory for all that you are doing.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless everyone. Until Wednesday. Bye. God bless.
Bye.
Have a great day, everyone.
Have a beautiful, blessed day. Thank you.